Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransomed by His shed blood on the cross.
Well, look with me in your Bibles in Numbers chapter 19, from verse 6 down to verse 10. Really, this whole chapter deals with the offering of the red heifer. Instructions, once the heifer was offered, to take the ashes and to mix it with water. And so that's really what we're going to be considering today, is what the scriptures call here the water of separation. When you hear that word separation, you're talking about something distinctive. This is separate. This is to be set aside. And just like the blood of animals, there's no salvation in that blood, but it's what it represented. And therefore, it was not to be treated commonly with other things until Christ came and put it away. It was called the blood of the atonement because it was there as a covering. A lot of people ask me, well, how were the Old Testament saints justified? Well, they were justified at the cross, but it was by faith, God having taught them of Christ, that they offered those sacrifices. Those sacrifices were still essential. They couldn't put that aside and say, well, I'm hoping in my justification at the cross. It was an offering. Every time one of those animals was sacrificed, according to God's instruction, they were identifying with that one who was to come. And in so doing, bowing to God as that way of righteousness, you see. So all of this is important. Let's read this in Numbers 19, beginning with verse 6. Now, the red heifer was already offered and slain and burned. And it says, and the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. You remember last time we looked at that, what that signified. If you go back to Leviticus 14, this was what was used typically for the cleansing of lepers. So all of it's symbolic. It's through the blood sacrifice that the cleansing is brought before God on behalf of the people. But now we read in verse 7, then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. Now, water has many practical uses that are essential to our lives, both internally and externally. Internally, it's considered to be one of the most needful health supplements that you can take. We need to be reminded of that. A lot of times we put a lot of toxins into our system, and so then we go to the doctor and he prescribes medication to try to help us overcome these things. They're telling us that the best thing you can do is keep slugging back gallons of water every day. What it does is purifies your system. We need water to drink, but externally also, water, you hear advertised that one of the greatest ways to protect yourself against the flu or the common cold is just keep washing your hands. And, you know, water externally, whether for washing of our hands or clothes or our bodies, using it to cook, watering plants, other things. Essentially, without water, plants, animals, people die. You can go a long time without food, but you can't go a long time without water. So it's no wonder here that we find water in this particular text being used in these sacrifices. And, you know, spiritually it has several different meanings that are important, whether for cleansing. Yeah, water is used in Scripture as an emblem of life itself. And water is described as what's necessary for sustenance. But here in verse 9, you'll notice it's called the water of separation, and then it gives the explanation. It is a purification for sin. Now, that's what caused me to stop short a little bit when I studied this. I thought blood was the purification for sin. But here it's saying that this water was a purification for sin. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 9, this is why I love the Scriptures, reading them, their own best commentary. Here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 21, we see the necessity of bloodshed. It says, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So that blood is essential. But then we read in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Now there's an interesting statement there. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. So there was in the law, there was a giving of the water, because that's really what it's describing here, as a means of ceremonial cleansing beside the blood. But then it quickly states that as far as the putting of away of sin is concerned, and that's really what the blood shed is a purpose to do. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So this is a warning to any that would look to water somehow as being a means of putting away their sin. It never was. That's not the sense that's used here. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Some things were cleansed by water, just like we've seen here in our text. When they came in after the offering the sacrifice, they were to be unclean until even, and then wash themselves. That laver of water that was in front of the tabernacle or the temple before they actually went into service, it was a water of separation, a sanctifying, if you will, a setting apart unto that work of the sacrifice. All right? But when it says here, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, you have to also recognize that fire, there's water and there was fire that was used for purging. If you look back here in Numbers 31, the point being that every detail is vital. Every part is important. Even in Hebrews 9, it says it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, set apart, sanctified with these, all right, until Christ should come. But in Numbers 31 and verse 23, we read, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. If you want a quick way to plant a field and get rid of, just level the ground. I used to do this in Africa. You could spend days chopping with a machete. This was particularly true of the techniques of farming they use in Africa. If you just wanted to try to clean a field with a machete, I'll guarantee you by the time you got an acre cleared, going one, you know, one whack at a time, when you turn around, it's already going to be pushing up behind you. And you'd spend all your time clearing that field. A lot of people say, why did they burn that off? It's the quickest way to clean a field. Get rid of the thorns, get rid of everything. Then the ash also serves as a fertilizer. All right, so it just cleanses. And that's what we see here in this portion in verse 23. It shall be clean, nevertheless it shall be purified. And look at here, with the water of separation. You say, well, what is in that water of separation that's so vital? It's the ashes of the heifer. It's not the water. It's the ashes of the heifer. What do the ashes represent? A sacrifice already made. I think you can begin to see where we're going with this. And this is the order that God has established. A lot of people today put emphasis upon things. Might even put it on baptism. Say, well, the scripture says, it shows the importance of baptism, not apart from what took place at Calvary. I'll tell you this, any kind of dunking that you might do with regard to baptism that is not directly connected to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all it is. It's a dunking. You might as well go down to the fairground and sit in that seat and have someone throw a ball in there and drop you in the water and bring you back up, because that's all it signifies. Unless God has given you an understanding of his son and his death and what he accomplished. You see, there's the connection. All right, so what do we learn then about this water of separation for the purification of sin? I want to just try to keep this as simple and plain as I can. But here's the first thing I'd have you consider, and that is that we see that this water is connected with the sacrifice of that red heifer. It's not apart from it. It's connected to it. You know, we already considered together last time this portion, how the sacrifice of the red heifer is the singular most significant type, in my mind, reading the Old Testament scriptures, the singular most significant type. If you could sum up one sacrifice, I know that all the sacrifices put together were necessary to try to describe the one, but here is one sacrifice of the Old Testament that when you study it and look at it, it best describes the once-for-all death of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. You know, we considered last time two unusual and distinct characteristics of this red heifer, if you remember, the offering of it. The first being that it was not offered on the altar of burnt offering. That was already something that set it apart. It was offered outside the camp. All right? And then the second distinction that we looked at was that it was only offered once forever. There's no indication that this was to be an annual offering, like on the Day of Atonement. It was, as we read here, it was a statute given forever. Forever. All right, so you say, well, what was the use then of it being offered once? Well, the ashes were preserved for the purification of generations to come. It had in view sins of yet to be committed, and yet that one sacrifice was to take care of it all. That's the significance there. And if you come over to Hebrews 9 in verse 13, look in Hebrews 9. We were just there looking at verse 21, but again, this whole chapter of Hebrews 9 would be so important just to sit and read it all in light of what we're looking at here. But look at verse 13 for the sake of time. It talks there about all of these things being shadows of Christ's work, but then it says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer. See, it's only one heifer. The ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. So what does that verse tell us already? It's all symbolic. It's not talking about the actual putting away sin, but it's looking forward to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would accomplish and the effects of his death. Not just for the purifying of the flesh, but for actually putting away sin. And that's why I read, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, this is important, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We're going to look at that here in a little bit, but the New Testament clearly shows the connection between this red heifer and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, and what we're going to see today, that water of separation and the work of the Spirit in regeneration. That's really what we're looking at, the sanctifying of a sinner, setting apart of that sinner in his heart, in his conscience, unto Christ who shed his blood. The heifer, as a type of Christ's death, did not actually put away sin. It pointed to the once for all death and sufferings of the Lord Jesus to put away sin. But what we're interested here is the connection. Its connection with the water of separation is that the death of the Lord Jesus not only satisfied God's justice, but it serves also to purify and pacify the conscience. You know, before the Lord did a work of grace in my heart and opened my eyes to Christ by his Spirit, I couldn't have told you whether the Lord died for me or not. I made profession that he did because that's what I was taught growing up. I was taught if I just said the sinner's prayer, then, you know, Christ died for me. He died for everybody that says the sinner's prayer. So I was in an organization where, you know, from a young age, kids were encouraged to say the sinner's prayer, get down on our knees and pray the prayer. But that's form description. That's not how the Scripture teaches that we have confidence that Christ died for us. It's the Spirit of God that gives that confidence. It's through his word. It's as the Lord teaches you by this word and opens your eyes to Christ that you rest in that hope, rest in that confidence that when he died for me. That's the Spirit witnessing these things. You know, I can't tell you that, but the Spirit does. That's his work to do. And I believe that's the real emphasis here of this water of separation. It's the connection between Christ's justifying work at the cross, who by his shed blood paid for sin and put it away, and the revelation of that by the Spirit of God to those that for whom he died. If you look over in Titus chapter 3, look in Titus chapter 3. See, we dare not confuse regeneration and justification because it's not at regeneration that we're actually justified. We were justified, if we're regenerated, we were justified before. Just like this water of separation mixed with the ashes, the sacrifice had to have already been offered in order for it to be applied. See? And that's why here in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it describes the work of the Spirit in the same sort of language that we're looking at right here in Numbers 19, doesn't it? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And look at here. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how we know he has saved us. It's by this washing of regeneration. What do you wash with? Well, water. There's that sanctifying that you remember with Peter and Christ, you know, when he didn't want Christ to wash his feet, and Christ said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. And he said, not only my feet, Lord, from my head to my toes. And the Lord told him, he said, it's only necessary to shower once, if you will, in the daytime. But walk the world, those feet get dirty. There's a necessity of that washing of the feet. And if you're the Lord, you can identify with this. We know that Christ died and put away our sin. Yet in this flesh, we still have sin in our experience. And it takes the work of the Spirit, it takes the Word of God to continually purge our consciences from any works that we would endeavor to do ourselves to try to deal with that sin as it comes up. The Spirit has to do what? Cleanse us, to cause us to look to Christ alone. And that's really what this washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost is all about. To me, we have here a fundamental truth in understanding the gospel. And I just don't know how to, it's something that we have to continually keep going over and to hear and to understand. And the Lord himself impressed this word in our hearts and minds, because left to ourselves, no matter how much we know about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, this flesh is always going to cause us to look somewhere else, seek refuge somewhere else, look to the works of these hands. I had someone ask me, does it ever get easier? I've never found it to be easier. I've got a friend of mine that's in his 80s, and he tells me it's worse now than ever. In fact, as your mind goes, you have to constantly come back to this word and be reminded again and again by the Spirit of God, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's where we look. That's where we look. Nowhere in Scripture does it describe water as the cause of satisfying God's justice. Don't look to the water. Brother Jim was reading this history of Israel, where Josiah was coming in and having to burn stuff that people had made idols out of. That's what this flesh will do. It's going to make an idol out of anything. They made an idol out of that brazen serpent. People make an idol out of baptism. They make an idol out of a person's profession. They make certain conditions to be what's essential in order to enjoy God's favor. I'll tell you this, dear friends, it took the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to put away sin. Nothing more and nothing less. It took the shedding of his blood. And to put the emphasis anywhere else is to miss the gospel. Is to miss the gospel. Some hold to the ceremony of baptism as a putting away of sin. You do, you've missed the gospel. That's not it. It took the shedding of the blood. And this water of separation. Notice the order. That's what I want you to see. What took place at the cross? We were redeemed. We were justified. Our sin was put away. Before God, his law and justice was satisfied. All right? And the water separation follows that in order then. See, there's a lesson here, is the place of regeneration in connection to justification. They're not simultaneous. You know, I used to believe that. I used to, and I hadn't studied it as I should have, but I used to think that it's when the Spirit did a work in the heart, it was then that I was justified. That's how I've been taught. That's how it had been explained to me. I never gave it any consideration or thought. But as I continue to study the Scriptures, the Lord has brought me to see that's totally false. There's justification. How's that accomplished? What is justification? It means to be declared guiltless. You telling me that it's when I believe that I'm declared guiltless? What about the work of Christ? Did he not finish the work? Scripture says he did. What did he do there? He put away sin. So ask yourself those questions, and this will become clear. You mean even before I ever knew of Christ in truth, my sin was already put away? Absolutely. In God's eyes. In God's eyes, he was satisfied. How? Not by decree, not by just overlooking that sin, but laying it upon his Son. And when Christ said, it's finished, it's finished. But how do I know about that? Well, when the Spirit comes and reveals it to a poor sinner's heart. That's the lesson here. When did God justify his people? Well, it was upon completion of the death of the Lord Jesus. That's why this operation has no significance apart from that red heifer. It's just nothing but water. That's not our salvation. It's in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that law was completely satisfied on behalf of his people. And therefore, if it's satisfied, that means there's no more transgression. You cannot be arrested for something where there's no law against it. You stop and think about it. I cannot be condemned. Why? Because Christ fulfilled the law. That's the whole thing. There's no law against me because Christ put it away, nailed it to the cross. But the water of separation, it follows the killing and burning of the heifer, just like regeneration. The Spirit of God revealing Christ, it follows in the finished work of the Lord Jesus in justifying his people. Now, it says here, coming back to our text, what I'm showing you here is the connection between the water and the red heifer. And here in Numbers 19, again, if you look in verse 9, we just looked at that, but also in verse 17, for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. First is mentioned the heifer and his death, and then the running water. All right? So the sacrifice of the heifer was Godward. That was the purpose of the red heifer. That was Godward. That was God's satisfaction, you see. But the cleansing with the water of separation is designed for the sinner as far as his own conscience is concerned. How do I have peace in the face of sin? How do I have peace in the face of my own depravity? Well, the Spirit of God has to cleanse his conscience and cause it to look to Christ alone. Having been redeemed and reconciled and once for all justified by the death of his Son, God does in time, by the work of his Spirit, cleanse and purify the conscience of those sinners for whom Christ died. Look over again at Hebrews 9. I know I told you have to read the whole chapter, but Hebrews 9, again, look at verse 14. Isn't that exactly what it's saying here? Hebrews 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? We looked at that before, didn't we? That our sin being put to him in no way contaminated his flesh. He was offered without spot to God. But what's the effect? It says, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See, that's what we're talking about here, this purging of the conscience. And that's through the work of regeneration. Those for whom Christ died, what cleanses our consciences is the abiding virtue of that death. That's what the Spirit does. It reveals what Christ accomplished. Otherwise, how would we know? You know, as I look around, I think of ways even myself. I strove to find peace of mind. I strove to find comfort and assurance. I'm sure all of us at one point or another, you know, but there wasn't anybody to point us to Christ. And it wasn't until the Spirit opened our eyes to Christ that we rested. We were striving. We were following every condition that preachers gave us and still could not say truthfully that we had any peace until the Lord was pleased to grant us this water of separation. See, that's what's described here. The death of Christ revealed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And you know, both the Spirit of God and the Word of God are described as water, as cleansing. This is what our Lord meant when he said here in John 3 and verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, even of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's how we're born. That's how we're brought to life. That's how we're made to see. It's through the work of the Spirit. What is that? That's the water of separation. We've been separated out from our blindness, separated out from our darkness, separated out from our ignorance, separated out from our rebellion. Why? Because of the shed blood of Christ.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. Please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org. You may also contact us directly by calling 318-687-4943 or through email to pastor@shrevegrace.org. Join us next week right here at this same hour.